Hello and welcome to the Veeam Community Podcast. I'm your host, Rick Vanover. This is episode 92, VCAC for you and me. Here we go. Today, my guest is John Harris. How you doing, John?
I'm doing great, Rick. Thanks for having me on today.
It's actually the other way around. I need to thank you because I need some help on this VCAC stuff. And I, you know, after talking to you at VMworld, you're the guy I want to zero in on for this stuff. For those of you who don't know John, he's on Twitter, at the VCAC guy. And John, correct me if I'm wrong, that's a new Twitter name. You've renamed it, right?
Yes, I actually renamed it recently just because everybody was saying, hey, that's that guy at VMworld. I thought it would be kind of funny. And just so everybody has a little background, you know, my name is John Harris. I work for the University of New Mexico, and we're actually in the process of putting VCAC into production in our environment.
Got it. So you've done the tests, you've done the homework, you've learned up. And you're ready to drop it in, right?
Yep. We should be doing it here in the next couple of weeks going production.
Awesome. And I've got a link to your blog here. I'm going to make sure that I get that in the podcast notes as well as your recent brown bag session. VirtueMaster.com and great list of stuff that John's been working on. I really think you guys ought to check him out. I've known John, and if you guys... You know, here's the funny thing, John. You're totally going to agree with me. Now, everybody knows GS. He's pretty easy to remember in the VMware
everybody
community.
Knows. Actually, he's here today. He wanted me to tell you hi.
Oh, hey, GS. Yeah, that's awesome. Is it his birthday, too? It's our birthday.
No, it's not his birthday today.
Okay, he's not allowed on the podcast then. So, because I'm just joking. Not on this episode. But John and I, ironically, everyone had the same birthday. We're going to keep the years under wrap, but okay, that's awesome. So, yeah, you're into it. You're a vExpert, vCap DCD, vMug co-leader. I mean, so it sounds like you got plenty of time, right?
Oh, yeah, tons of time. Keeping busy.
Wow. So let's dig into it. You know, I went through I went to the same VMworld you did, and it's pretty clear to me that VCAC is a pretty strategic direction going forward. You're already there. In a nutshell, John, tell me what VCAC does. I mean, I can look it up, but tell me how you're using it.
Okay, so VCAC, basically what it boiled down to is we had a scenario here at UNM where we have a hosted shared a hosted VM service that we give out to all these other different departments. And as you can imagine, at the university, we've got something like 12,000 employees, okay? So we got a lot of user base there, right? But sure. we wanted to automate the process, right? And we want to be able to hand it off to people and allow them to provision their VMs themselves, right? So we started looking at things like vCloud Director, and we kept getting this resounding feedback from customers saying, or even people that like internally, business people saying, well, that's not very easy to use. So what VCAC delivers is a lot of the VCD type functionality, and you can even have VCD behind it, and it looks like they're going to be rolling a lot of the functionality for multi-tenancy and stuff into VCAC, mm-hmm. but it's going to give you that easy button interface. It's going to make it's that keep it that clicky interface for everybody. Make it real simple.
Right.
You know.
So, you know, I've always kind of zeroed in on this type of use case, especially, you know, colleges, universities are actually a good use case where a lot of the different people I know in this situation have kind of a mix. Like there's like the central IT group, and then maybe every department or college has their own little IT group. And then there's like, well, some people do this that way. Some people do it centrally. Some people do it on their own. That's a real – forget, you know, how people have ended up at that place. But I think the problem that this solves – correct me if I'm wrong, John – is that the little, you know, technology experts that are in the different pockets of the business, you call them customers, they're different people within colleges and departments. Is that correct, basically?
Yes, that's correct.
So those technology experts people, correct me if I'm wrong, but do they end up spending less time managing infrastructure but more time working with their stakeholders and making sure that the apps they need are available and done quickly? Is that the real benefit that this does for people?
That's the absolute goal here at UNM. Yeah. So, for instance, yeah, I mean, that's exactly how it runs at UNM is you've got, I mean, I don't know exactly how many data centers are here, but there's several different departments with different data centers. You got people putting servers underneath their desk. Mm-hmm. You got people's going to Amazon and all these different things. And what VCAC is going to allow us to do as an organization is to be able to bring all that infrastructure internally, be able to do the heavy lifting for people, do things like backups for them, be able to do DR for them, right? And be able to give and provide them that solution so they can focus on their application, right? And be able to do it through a central interface that's going to be the same no matter where they're provisioning those resources, whether it be something like Amazon or to our private infrastructure.
Got it. Oh, so it can go. That's right. I remember one of the big points of VCAC is it reaches far, meaning outside of the VMware stacks. So Amazon is an option.
Yes.
Interesting. How about migration to and from both ways?
You know what? To tell you the truth, I haven't dug a whole lot into that. I mean, because ultimately what ends up, there's still that barrier there that how do you get something that sits on Amazon that's in a particular format migrated over? I mean,
they're
different formats.
That's true. Maybe. That's a bad idea. Okay, got it.
Yeah, but you potentially could have, maybe you've got your development teams putting stuff out there, or maybe you've got students, you know, there's use cases out there. Or maybe as a university, we can get Hyper-V for cheaper, right? And maybe we want to leverage Hyper-V for particular things in the future. We have the ability to put all those type of different resources behind there.
Sure. And I use both. And in fact, don't tell anybody, but I don't have a very large environment. I'm sure you have a much larger, but basically I've always been a fan of separation. So I do little things, right? I put my VMware infrastructure, like especially vCenter, the Windows app, I run in Hyper-V, which is kind of weird, but it works. But, you know, it's just separate. That way I don't have to worry about, well, I can't take that host down because that's where vCenter is. That type of stuff goes away. But, you know, everyone's requirements are different. But, you know, so you're really focusing on ease of use for those customers. So let's flip it around. How about you as the, dare I say, the infrastructure provider and then the associated service provider? Is that, even in an internal organization, is that overly complex if you go the VCAC route?
Actually not, because, I mean, obviously you've got to get some people up to speed on VCAC because, like with anything, I mean, you're sitting this is sitting out there and it's essentially kind of like a broker between all your different services, right? Mm-hmm. And so any of those type of solutions that you have out there, no matter what it is, there's some complexity to it. But once it's set up, it's very, I mean, you can set up multi-tier apps and you can provision them. Mm-hmm. There's some really cool stuff coming here in the near future that I heard actually announced at PuppetConf. I actually managed to go to PuppetConf right before VMworld.
Sure.
And so Puppet's doing some things with where they're going to have some integration into App Director, right? Where you can actually pull all the stuff out of Puppet Forge up into App Director and then be able to expose that through VCAC, right? So then you can do, like, you know, the whole stack. You should be able to deploy a VM and then automate the orchestration of maybe a huge, you know, three-tier application, you know?
Really?
Hmm. Yeah, so it's kind of interesting. I mean, I haven't actually played with that piece yet, so, you know, I'm just speaking from what I saw.
Sure.
Because, I mean, you know, when you see those type of things, they're
I've actually struggled to figure out where Puppet fits into it, and I know that a lot of people were at VMworld for both, and yeah, that's in the homework category for me to read up and see how it fits and all. But tell me if I'm thinking along the ways here. So, if I remember right, John, you started with VMware virtualization, say, I don't know, 2007, 2009, something like that?
2009 was really when I started getting heavy into it.
And it, correct me if I'm wrong, but it was pretty easy to self-teach yourself. Am I right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But that was not the case with vCloud Director, okay? And I can agree with that firsthand, right? I self-taught myself ESX3 and went up from there, okay?
Gotcha.
I did go to the course, right? That helped. But honestly, vCenter, ESXi, even the shared storage, you can just figure it out, honestly. We got into trouble with resource pool shares and stuff like that. We figured it out. We learned, right?
Absolutely.
But the provider VDCs, the org VDCs and stuff with vCloud Director was a little bit – it was a lot harder of a self-education journey. Did you entirely self-learn VCAC, or did you – get insight, you know, from VMware Education Services before you went down the route? How did you kind of get there?
To tell you the truth, when we decided to deploy this, there wasn't much out there. Mm-hmm. There wasn't education services. There were a couple of blog sites far in between that were out there that had some information. Mm-hmm. And it really was just kind of going through the documentation, learning the product, and moving forward. I think VMware just released a course.
And that's the good thing about VMware is usually there's always a course, you know, disregard when it comes out. But usually, like, VMware employees on their own personal blogs or maybe the VMware blogs, blogsvmware.com, they're really engaged with the community. So that would be a really good way to kind of, jumpstart even ahead of proper curriculum to go ahead down that route. So was social media, that type of stuff, your kind of a support network to get started?
There was a couple sites. I think there was one called the Daily Hypervisor. It's by a guy named Sid. And he was actually, I guess, one of the people that came with – he used to work for Dynamic Ops, I think, and kind of came with the –
right.
With the package. So he had a lot of really good information out there. And there were a couple of other sites. But beyond that, there wasn't a lot of information out there. To tell you the truth, the first set of documentation for that first version was a bit lacking. I did spend a good bit of time, trying to figure things out or on support calls.
Oh, really? Okay.
Just trying to figure out how this whole thing laid out. Because, I mean, for instance, like in our implementation now, we've got, I think, something like eight Windows VMs to support that VCAC product.
Got it.
So there's a lot of different components, and there's a lot of different communication going on between those components.
Yeah, that's, the vCloud suite has that effect, and I believe VCAC is part of it. Part of the
it is.
Suite. So
yeah.
That's expected behavior. And it's different, it's difficult, and there's a lot of, I don't want to say a lot of layers, it's just, take what we had with ESX and vCenter, it's a pretty easy self-teachable thing with two layers. Now that's not the case.
Yeah, that's definitely true. They're putting on more and more layers, and I think that's why VMware is going the direction they are with VCAC, to tell you the truth, is they're trying to collapse some of those layers.
Got
I mean,
it.
That was definitely some feedback I had for them is like, look, and to tell you the truth, Rev1, they touted that, VCAC was going to have this vCloud Director integration, mm-hmm. and it was quite lacking first version. Basically, the only thing it knew about was a vApp context. Mm. But you couldn't customize any of the VMs within there without doing custom orchestration via Orchestrator and things like that. And then in these first couple of versions, it was kind of hard to know what direction to go because they had two workflow engines. They had a thing called VCAC Designer, which came with the acquisition, right? Mm-hmm. And then they had Orchestrator. And so there was some gray areas there and how and where to make those things happen. And I'm actually quite impressed with the direction VMware is going with those things. For instance, like they're getting rid of that third party VCAC designer workflow engine, and everything's going to be done via Orchestrator. And it's going to allow you to exploit all those. So like you can download all those workflows from the plugins from, the marketplace. Mm-hmm. And so there's actually a GUI interface within VCAC once it's connected to Orchestrator, where you can go and you can custom manipulate the layout and stuff for those particular workflows and how you're going to present them to your customer.
Okay, time out. You called it VCAC.
Oh, sorry.
Is it VCAC? I know it's not VCAC.
Don't call it the VCAC. That's a bad thing. Scott Lowe corrected me on that, man.
Okay. And it's Scott Lowe says VCAC?
you know what? And then I was trying to call it V-Cake, and then there was this like whole crazy Twitter stream that went out that somebody else didn't like that. So, you know, the official word I've actually gotten from a couple people is, let's just go VCAC.
Yeah.
So,
so I went to Chris Colati and we were talking about VCHS.
Yes.
I call it V-Cheese. No, it's not V-Cheese. V-Center hybrid hosted, whatever, C-H-C-S, whatever it is. I don't know. It's not cheese. It's maybe chess, but CHS is a safe bet. Anyways, yeah, I see, again, there's so many pieces and parts. It is a little tough to keep them straight. So let's go with VCAC. Now, what is the biggest challenge you've seen on your – so I take it you've done some sort of proof of concept internally. Right.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. What was the biggest challenge you've seen with that journey?
You know, the biggest challenge with all of this is the IT piece ends up being easy, at least from an IT perspective, because that's what I live and breathe. Mm-hmm. It's all the business process stuff that has to go on in the background, because you have to start working with those different business units within your organization and at times redefining how you do things. So that, because it's a whole different model, you know what I mean? The way things worked when we first started down this journey is, you know, somebody goes and they manually call somebody or they put a ticket in, and then every little piece of it's a manual process, you know, from the Windows team gets a request to clone the VM, you know, mm-hmm. to, you know, IPing it to getting it in DNS. All that was manual processes, you know, and so. How are you gonna address those things? Issues that like we had internally that we had to address. For instance, like we had security policies that were internal that basically when a VM came up by default, like everything was blocked, but like basic AD authentication, you know. Mm-hmm. And so how we addressed some of that is we redefined some of those policies and said, okay, maybe these are some things that we're willing to leave open internally to the campus by default, and here's some external stuff, mm-hmm. and then maybe at minimum. Rev 1, let's find a way how we can gather that information while the person's provisioning the VM, mm-hmm. so that there doesn't have to be all this manual communication that has to happen about what additional ports do you need, mm-hmm. you know, where's it coming from and all that, and be able to gather that while you're provisioning. And so that's where some of the value comes out of VCAC, because it has a lot of flexibility in how you can lay out those type of things to your customer and how you can gather that information. They have these things called custom properties, right? And so what I've been really amazed about is most of what I've had to do required no scripting, you know?
Oh, that's cool.
A lot of that automation didn't require any scripting. Like, they've got built-in custom properties for, like, AD, right? And it'll go, and it'll delete that machine from AD by just putting a custom property in there and saying true when it's destroyed. You know what I mean? And I didn't have to go script that.
That's awesome, because I'm horrible at scripting.
So... that's really the value that it brings. I mean, because there are a lot of solutions out there, you know. But
oh yeah, yeah. Well, what about the other half, like the things like network placement, network zones, and what about then also things like one thing I did like was like fast provisioning of storage. You know, does it do that good stuff?
Okay, so for instance, like network provisioning, right? So I have ours set up now. Granted. UNM is an interesting beast. Mm-hmm. We've been around for a long time, so they don't even use NAT yet, okay? There's public and there's private, right?
Wow.
yes, it's quite amazing. They're looking at getting NAT implemented.
That sounds like a good idea.
So that's what I thought. Welcome to the public sector.
Nice.
First time I ever saw it when I went to go work for the state and I saw something like that, I was like, what is going on here? This is crazy.
Where am I? I'm on the other internet.
But anyways, so that's the great thing is like within VCAC, they have a thing called network profiles, right? So I have it set up so that I can define subnets, right? And then I was able to present to my customers that they can select if it needs to be a public or private accessible box. And they can select either of those options. And when they select that option, that machine is auto-static IP'd, added to the domain, put in the correct OU, and they get an email at the end with a little RDP link, and they can click on that RDP link and remote in.
That is boss. That is awesome.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Wow.
So, And that was, like, out-of-the-box functionality. Nothing really custom. I mean...
Oh. Wow, print the shirts, VCACU. I'm going there, man. That's an inside joke. He's working on shirts, VCACU.
So, I mean, that's where some of the beauty was. What was the other question? I kind of
spaced. Oh, no, that's
it.
Fine. One thing I do like is, like, storage fast provisioning, which is much like the Link clone capability, where there's a source disk and then differencing disks after that, you know. Do you have, like, some storage, mega storage efficiencies?
So things like that would really, like, for instance, it'll work with vCloud Director now, and vCloud Director can use Link clones, so you'd be exploiting that piece.
Right.
A lot of that would probably be offloaded to the actual storage vendor, a lot of those efficiencies.
Yeah, okay, so, but maybe with, like, some of the VCD features going into the different products, including VCAC, maybe that would address that over time.
I would imagine so, and I'm imagine and you know, if you looked at the official, actually had an official blog post finally on that.
I've been reading them, yep.
Yeah, and I looked at that, and it seems like they're planning on having most, if not all, the features from vCloud Director eventually in VCAC, which is a good thing. I mean, that's one thing that we're looking at right now is, so we in our organization, the first goal was to get that clicky, clicky, easy button interface up, because that's what the CIO said, okay?
Yep.
I mean, that's what was driven by upper management, right? So the next thing is we want to start building in the multi-tenancy piece, right? And so now we're starting to work with VMware to say what's going to be the best route for us, you know? Because we're very much kind of like a service provider, you know?
Right.
And, you know, their official thing says, you know, service providers, VCD is going to be around for a while. So we got to have some discussions with them and say, okay, so this next version of VCAC, you know, what pieces of that multi-tenancy are going to be there, you know? So that we can kind of make those decisions and start moving forward, because that's kind of been our next step in the journey, is building in that multi-tenancy.
Absolutely. Well, hey, man, I really appreciate you being on the podcast here. I keep it nice and short and sweet, and I appreciate your insight of VCAC, of both how it's helping you and some of the challenges you've seen, and also what you're looking forward to in November. So, just to be a little nosy, so is this going to be like in production soon, or at the first of the year, or when about do you think to light it up for real?
You mean here internally at UNM?
Yeah, just curious.
I mean, honestly, I mean, our first revision of it won't have the multi-tenancy, but it'll, you know, IT groups will be able to provision to specific VLANs and all that, and it'll all be automated, like, seriously, within the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Whoa.
I mean, we're just finishing out a couple of issues that we have, just around getting tickets to trigger the way we want,
right,
and things like that, and a couple of things like getting documentation out to our customers. So we're capturing videos, and, you know, we've got a thing called help for, like knowledge base type stuff. We're getting those things all in place, and then we'll be moving forward.
Wow. So everyone, the VCAC guy on Twitter, he's already been there. He's already done it. And I've poked around your blog as we've been talking here. And you've got, you know what? In fact, one of the posts, migrating to VCAC 5.2, no, it's not a simple upgrade. You know what? That's exactly what people need to know. So, you know, the stopping points, the gotchas. And I'm just thumbing through his blog post here, guys. I'm putting it at like 40 screenshots and like 3,000 words. It's a little bit on the thorough side, and that's exactly what we need in this space right now. So, John, on behalf of the whole virtualization community, keep it going with this blog post. This is a new and very critical segment of our virtualization journey, and we as a community are really lucky to have you putting out this content, because you're doing it, and everyone else is going to be there right behind you. So keep up the good work.
Well, thank you, Rick.
Tell GS I said hello. And again, everyone, John is on Twitter at the VCAC guy. His blog is virtuemaster.com. And John, thanks for being on the podcast.
All right. Thank you, Rick.